Good morning. This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. Located a couple miles from Crow Canyon Archaeological Center, a prehistoric occupation known as the Dillard Site features a Basket Maker III community center that dates from the 7th century AD and includes the only confirmed Basket Maker III Great Kiva in the central Mesa Verde region. For the past 3 years, excavations conducted at the Dillard Site and nearby areas have revealed important information about the prehistoric community that lived there, what they ate, their arts and crafts, and their ceremonial activities. By making a pledge of support to KSJD now during our spring membership drive, you'll be entered into our Archaeological Weekend Grand Prize Package, including a visit to Crow Canyon Archaeological Center and the Dillard Site. Call 970-564-0808 or go to ksjd.org to make your pledge now. Joining me here in the studio for the zine this morning is Shauna Diedrich. She is the archaeologist who's been supervising the excavations at the Dillard Site. Good morning, Shauna.
Good morning, Tom.
Let's just start this morning and talk about the Dillard Site a little bit. Sounds like you've spent about 3 years out there doing some excavations. Why did Crow Canyon choose to do so much research and excavation at the Dillard Site in the first place?
Well, the Dillard Site is pretty unique. I mean, on a large scale. You know, the Basket Maker III folks are usually living in really small hamlets, so that means just one or two families living near each other. But at the Dillard Site, what we've got is a public structure, public architecture, and then actually a big group of people living around it. Very unique for this time period, and really, these folks are just moving on to into the McElmo Dome, so near Cortez, and so we are really getting a picture of early organization. So it's very unique. It helps us understand Pueblo social organization and sort of those first homesteaders that move out here.
When you say there's some sense of integration, I think the big news out of the Dillard Site first off was some sort of oversized structure. There was some sense that, hey, we've got a pit structure here. We've got something that's big. When you started working on that, when did you get to the point where you would call it some sort of ceremonial structure? When did you kind of cross that bridge and say, okay, we've got something that's really different here? We know we've got something big, but this is what we think it is.
Right. You know, I actually have to give the credit to Jerry Fetterman of Woods Canyon. Back in 1991, he tested it, and he realized that there was a large depression out there surrounded by only early artifacts. So he actually tested it, and he said, wow, you know, this trench, what we found is something that looks like 11 meters in diameter. So, you know, we're talking 33 feet, 36 feet in diameter. So it was really him that said, hey, I think we've got an early, what we would call a great kiva. So that great kiva is, if you've ever been to Chaco Canyon, picture Casa Rinconada, or Aztec's Great Kiva, but on a much smaller scale. So we kind of had an inkling of what we had, but it wasn't really until we did some remote sensing, which is sort of imaging from the surface, so getting a picture of that. We used several techniques, but we can actually get a visual on buried structures that we realized how big that building was.
Mm-hmm. When you say that this structure, surrounding this structure, you've got a big sort of group of people, do we have a sense of how many people that was? And how does that compare to so-called normal Basket Maker III habitations from the 7th century?
It's on a whole different scale from regular Basket Maker III lifestyles. So That was a big finding of the project, actually. We thought we might have an isolated Great Kiva when we first got out there. And then we started doing what I was talking about, that remote sensing, and realizing that there was probably at least 17 different structures surrounding this building.
And these are habitation, like homes that you're talking about.
Yeah, so we started excavating, and we were able to confirm that at least 10 of them are households. So that means that we probably have close to, 60 to 80 people living there, we think, at the same time.
Wow, that's quite a lot. When you're talking about, now, what would a normal Basket Maker III hamlet look like? Would that be more like 15 to 20 people, somewhere in that range?
Not even that. I think it'd probably be closer to between 6 and 10. So these basket maker folks were pretty determined to live isolated, and we've started doing looking at how they're positioning themselves on the landscape, and it looks like everybody wants at least 10 acres to themselves. So it's really this like homesteading sort of concept where you get your own farmstead, everybody spaces themselves out. If you're a part of a community, it's definitely a dispersed community. So something like the Dillard site sticks out like a sore thumb. This is just not normal sort of organization.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guest this morning is Shauna Diedrichs. She is the archaeologist who's been supervising excavations at the Dillard site. It's a Basket Maker 3 community center that dates to the 7th century AD, and it's near Crow Canyon Archaeological Center. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other unexpected discoveries that you made at the Dillard site. So you've got this big, oversized Great Kiva sort of integrative community structure. You've got everybody in their little 10-acre sort of areas around it. What did you find? What else did you find there that was kind of a surprise? I mean, that must have been a surprise in and of itself, but what else did you find?
I think we've had a couple surprises. One of them is that the Dillard site actually seems to predate most of the other basket maker sites around it. So our earliest dates from there are actually in the 500s, so about 580 AD. So we think that this might be a group of people that are moving into the area together. After that, we see all these other small hamlet sites date into the late 600s. So this might actually be a vision of a group of people that are moving into the area as a homesteading little colony. That's one sort of surprise. Another one is it looks like we found a small fence, so what archaeologists call stockade, around one of the groups of habitations at the Dillard site. So it was probably three or four households, but they have a whole fence that are surrounding that group or that neighborhood, which is pretty neat.
How unique is that among this time period? Have we seen anywhere else around something where you've got this big integrative structure? It looks like a community that's built around it, or is this a fairly unique thing?
I think it's a pretty unique thing, especially up here in the Central Mesa Verde area. So if you went down to the Chuscas, you're going to find a lot more of this time period and quite a few great kivas actually down there. You could also look at Chaco Canyon that has Shibikashi Village. So that's a great kiva with close to 80 pit houses around it. So a lot of people either living together or coming back over time to that location.
And so in that way, how has the Dillard site maybe changed or contributed to our understanding of what's going on up here in the Central Mesa Verde region?
I think it shows us probably how people first decided to move up here. I could see the Dillard site population sort of setting the foundation roots for the Central Mesa Verde occupation for the next 800 years.
Wow.
So nobody's really dealing with Mesa Verde, with the Malcolmo Dome, maybe even into Utah until this moment. So this is the first time that they decide to do this dryland farming that we're so famous for now. This is the first folks that really get into it up on the in this deep lust that we've got in our area.
This is the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. I'm talking this morning with Shauna Diedrichs. She's the archaeologist who's been supervising excavations at the Dillard site. That's a Basket Maker 3 community center that dates from the 7th century AD. By making a pledge of KSJD right now during our spring membership drive, you could be entered into our Archaeological Weekend grand prize package, including a visit to Crow Canyon Archaeological Center and the Dillard site. Call now 970-564-0808 or go to ksjd.org to make your pledge now. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is the Monday Morning Zine. Of course, I'm Tom Yoder, and as we've been talking this morning with Shauna Diedrichs, we've been talking about the Dillard site. It's a Basket Maker 3 community center, dates to the 7th century AD, and Shauna, you've been the supervisory archaeologist out there at the Dillard site. We've been talking a little bit with Jeff there about Native American involvement. And how has that worked at the Dillard site? Have you been bringing Native American groups in to look at this site? It is a unique site. Have they been saying anything that you've been able to learn more about the site from?
Definitely. You know, I think at Crow Canyon we really aim to integrate Native American voices, if at all possible. We actually have, that's part of one of our three initiatives, so education, research, and Native American initiatives. And we're getting better at it. I can't say that we're perfect either, but it's also, you know, what kind of questions would they like to ask? What questions are inappropriate, really, to be asking as archaeologists? What should we target and what should we not target? You know, probably our biggest contribution is that we've learned to take, well, we don't look for human remains. So that is not one of our directives. So we have a very strong policy around that. We take a lot of their considerations in when we hit human remains, but also I think that we've integrated their point of view a lot when they come out to visit the site, when we're considering how to write it up, maybe their perspectives on what they thought that kiva was. And you know, a lot of times we don't get a direct answer of this equals that. You know, we are looking 1,400 years in the past, but we do get an idea that, okay, maybe this was part of women's experience in Basket Maker 3, or maybe this connects to this social organization in modern Pueblo times. So we don't get direct answers a lot of times, but we it helps us point in the right direction.
What you're describing is really a pretty big change from the way archaeology has been practiced throughout history, the history of archaeology. And I think that the Crow Canyon Archaeological Center is doing a really good job of modeling a new way of doing archaeology. The folks who are making pledges are going to be entered into our Archaeological Weekend Grand Prize Package, which includes a visit to Crow Canyon and to the Dillard site, and they're going to be joined by Mark Varian. And Mark has been one of the premier researchers in this area for a long time. Talk a little bit about how that research, the research side of Crow Canyon is helping to guide archaeology, because I really do believe that Crow Canyon is, you know, setting a new standard in a lot of ways about how archaeology could be done. Can you talk a little bit about what that looks like at Crow Canyon for you guys?
Sure. I think we've realized as archaeologists in the last 20 years that we have been very obsessive about the small scale. So what is going to happen to this particular site? Is this pipeline going to slice through a structure or not? And we've reported our findings in that direction. I think Crow Canyon has realized that we really have to talk about archaeology in different scales. One of our research initiatives has been the Village Ecodynamics Project over the last 10 years, and that's looking at a fairly large corner of southwest Colorado and comparing it to an area down in the northern Rio Grande, so north of Santa Fe. When we start looking at things on that scale, we can see patterns that we never would have thought about before, and we're able to even enter into a dialogue that's global. So, like, how did people transition from foraging to agriculture? And this happens all over the planet. It's something that affected all of us. What did that change? How did it affect environments on a really large scale? So when you start stepping back and looking at projects on that level, then it feels like we might come up with answers that could provide guidance for how we impact the land today, or how our social organizations may affect the way that we interact with our landscape, any of those things. So it's really story of scale that we're really trying to engage in.
It's almost like archaeology is finally starting to answer the question of what's the point of all
exactly.
of this? How do we apply this to practical solutions in today's world?
Right.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Shauna, is you've got a lot of different people coming into Crow Canyon Archaeological Center, participants in the various programs that you guys provide out there. Tell me about how that's important, how it's so important for people just to come and see this firsthand instead of reading about it in a magazine or National Geographic or something like that. You must work with a lot of people firsthand in that way, coming out and doing their very first archaeological project. What does that look like for them?
I feel absolutely lucky to get to work with the probably thousands of people that walk through Crow Canyon every year. I love that moment when you see a kid sort of engage and realize as he, you know, they're excavating in a unit that this stuff is 1,400 years old. When all of a sudden that depth of time, sort of that cultural recognition that people lived in a completely different way, and that they get to be a part of it today, that dawning happens when people are literally in the field. They're experiencing that environment. So I feel really lucky. It's a huge purpose of Crow Canyon, that public outreach, letting all of America sort of experience the American past. And I think that creates ownership across the board for everyone, and that gets people invested in sort of cultural diversity. I think hopefully that creates a voice for Pueblo people too, in the larger dialogue. So I think it's great.
What you just described is much of the way I think about KSJD. That's
yeah.
very interesting, because we also talk a lot at KSJD about, hey, we need to get people in the door. People need to come in and experience media firsthand. That access into the studio, you're sitting here with me this morning as an archaeologist. Tell me a little bit about how important it is for you to be able to get on the radio and tell your story about the Dillard site and about Crow Canyon.
Sure. Well, you know, I think it's really important because, again, like you were saying, what is the point of archaeology? And I think we've really moved away from that point of it being just this intellectual endeavor. So it's not self-fulfilling anymore. The point is we have to make it relevant to everybody else. So I'm just excited that KSJD reaches out so much to archaeologists in the Southwest. It creates a place where we can have a dialogue about our common past and what makes this corner of the state so important.
Support that dialogue today. Call us, 970-564-0808. And we have our Stonefish gift certificate still on the table. Why is that important to archaeologists, Stonefish sushi? Do you have a sense
no.
of that? I don't know.
I do. There's a whole nother zine in that. But yeah, Stonefish is really important. I think it's a meeting place for almost every archaeologist in the Four Corners. And actually, you know, we do cultural exploration trips, and I think one of them next year is based on sort of ecology and how we move food around in our world, and it's actually called Sushi in Cortez. So literally Stonefish is informing our research.
Very good, and they're also informing our pledge drive right now that's going on. It is KSJD's spring membership drive. Give us a call right now, 970-564-0808, or you can go online to ksjd.org to make your pledge now. And when you do, our first caller will get a gift certificate to Stonefish Sushi and more. And if you don't make that call right now, I think Shauna's going to race you to it and get that. You've been listening to the Monday Morning Zine. I just want to remind listeners that when you make a pledge, you'll also be entered into our grand prize archaeological weekend package, which includes a visit to Crow Canyon Archaeological Center and the Dillard site. It also includes a flight over Mesa Verde, a tour of Mesa Verde, and some other really nice parts. You can go to ksjd.org and see the full prize package there. Shauna, thanks so much for coming in. I want to ask you one last thing, because I think this is really cool. There's a series on PBS called Time Team America, And apparently Crow Canyon and the Dillard site are going to be featured on that. Can you tell us when that's going to be happening?
Yeah, I think we filmed it about 2 years ago, but the show is actually going to be aired in late August. So I think that's August 28th on Rocky Mountain PBS. But it's a whole hour show focused on our project.
Wow, so that's a good way to learn more about what's been going on at the Dillard site over the last few years. All right, Shauna, thanks again for coming in. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
You've been listening to the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder.